funny ass comedian, Eric Hollenbeck.
Good sir.
Keep it going for Dante Hale. Deontay. How do I say that? Deontay? Could I add more syllables because I'm white? Deontay Dondre. Keep it going for him. I got paid a lot of money for this show. People don't know I got paid a lot of money. Not that I like am getting paid directly for this show, but earlier today I got some tater tots, and I thought it'd be cute if like Lance would like throw one in my face, you know, throw one in my mouth, right? And then he, like a pitcher, throws a beeline right in my eye. And now my quality of life is fucked up, and I'm gonna sue the fuck out of them and get all that money. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna teach you lots of money.
Yeah. I'm gonna get that professor money somehow. Right now, I'm getting my master in screenwriting at the University of New Orleans, but I'm not getting a professor job. Lance Arnold has a professor job, and I'm getting that money from the tater tot incident. I'm suing him for everything. All right, we're rolling. This is Highway Diary. We're here with Adam, Kyle Smith. What's up?
Welcome to the MHOG podcast.
It's also that. Boom, we're boom, simulcasting. Boom. Everything's happening right
Take
now.
Take that, Doug Stanhope.
You know, Kyle, I've been sitting there for a good 45 minutes. You're too high energy at the moment. Like,
unbelievable.
I need you to take it down a little
What? Bit. It's yeah. shit. If you made me take it down, I'm going to start yelling shit. I was about to be yelling at a whole bunch of people today. Right.
So let's talk about Doug Stanhope. One time I heard a rumor that you were in the hi-ho. I can't go there. I've been banned twice. But one time you were in the hi-ho and Doug Stanhope showed up and he said what I predicted what he would say. All these comics are garbage, but Kyle Smith is amazing. Is that basically what happened?
Yeah, he didn't say anybody was garbage. but yeah. Yeah. That's the gist of it.
What did he say exactly?
He was like, oh, man, everybody's, you know, out of everybody that's in here, you're you know, he kind of sounds like Morty from Rick and Morty. He's like, you're the one that's going to make it. I mean, I'm not saying that nobody else in here is good, but you've got what it takes, and you're going to get somewhere. I was like, oh, man, thank you.
It was really nice.
I actually have the audio
of
that, too.
But I do contend that he painted a target on your back.
Painted a target?
Yeah.
Meaning that everybody's going to be against me now?
Well, you think he's a champion now and everyone's going to try to take his title?
I think he's got the speed, but I think they're going to dog pound him.
Mm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Did I use that term right? I think I just
dog pound.
I think that's a gay term that I didn't need to use.
Yeah?
You got dog pound? I don't think that's a gay term. I have no idea if that's a gay term or not.
Who dog pounded you, bud?
It's a dog pound?
No one's dog pounded me.
Dog pound.
I mean, at this point, I've been alone.
Snoop Dogg
dog
pound?
So it might not be that terrible if someone dog pounded me. I mean,
right. At a certain point, if you're a straight man who hasn't had sex in 10 years, it's like, what's like a fucking dog pound? You know what I'm saying? How long has it been since you had sex, Adam?
It's been a few years.
Yeah. A few? What does that mean?
I've seen a 50-year-old that he hadn't had it in a while.
Huh?
I seen a 50-year-old he hadn't had it in a while, and it was weird with him.
A 50-year-old?
Yeah, he was 50. He was just like, fuck pussy. I was like, yeah, what? No, man, you can't do that. Don't say that.
In the game.
Yeah, don't say that.
Well, speaking of my penis, I do have, I'd forgotten because we had a long day, but I did have a little story that I figured, you know, since it's not just Highway Diaries, it's obviously also
Metalhead of God podcast.
Mohawk.
Right. So, on Thursday, I had to get a stent out of my body.
A stent? That's what was going on. Yes. Motherfucker asked me, what was that? I'm in the woods.
Remember I showed you a picture?
Yeah,
I was
like, why are you in the hospital?
He's
like,
in the hospital, right? And you're like, hey, please don't let me die in this hospital.
That was a joke that I shouldn't have posted.
But you were in the gown? You were in the hospital gown?
I said, Lord, please don't let me die in this ugly schmuck.
Okay, so what happened?
I had this lodged kidney stone that wasn't moving for like 6 months. So they had to operate. And when they operated, they got it out, but they had to put a stent in me. So the ureter that connects your bladder to your kidney, they stuck a tube with a coil in it inside. But they can't leave it in there because it'll calcify and it'll kill your kidney. So they had to go get it out. There's two ways to do that. You can either get surgery again, which wasn't happening because I'm broke,
Oh, you go through the pee hole?
Yes. So, and when they do that, they give you, you know, like you take a, they gave me some oxycodone to take, and they stuck a needle in my dick and put some lidocaine, you know, to numb the tip.
They put, they give you a shot in the tip of your penis?
Yes.
In the hole?
Well, technically it's in the side, but.
Oh,
you know,
in the side of the mushroom top.
Yeah. So. But
did you chub up first for the nurse?
No, that's a horrible
idea. Nah, son, I'm like totally, I'm about to like recede inside myself
that's,
as he's fucking.
No, but I'm just saying like
as
for
he's
show.
Fucking.
Well, that's the
for
problem.
For show?
So,
to be a show pony.
I don't think so, dude. Now we're about to get a needle
gorgeous,
in your shit.
And she leads me into this room that's like a dentist's office. It really is. Like if you saw it, you'd be like, are they going to fucking drill my teeth or some shit? And she puts me on this chair that's like a dentist's chair. It lays back, and then it raises me up about 3 feet. In the meantime, she tells me, like, you can take down your bottoms, which was a weird thing.
She said bottoms?
She said bottoms. She
said,
take down
she?
Your bottoms. And then cover it up with, like, she gave me, like, this, like, doggy mat, like the little mats that you put out for your dog to pee on, like the diaperish ones.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
she,
yeah.
So she had me we cover pass. Up with that. But then I'm laying there. With my bottoms down.
Sure.
And, you know, my shirt, like, so, I mean, it's literally just, like, I'm wearing clothes except for my dick.
Oh.
And,
You, Winnie the Pooh in it?
Kind of, except I still have, like, my pants are around my ankles.
Oh.
So it's just very weird. Like,
yeah.
It's not like she said, just take your
raised
pants
up
off.
3 feet and shit.
She's like, just pull them down some. So I'm laying there with my exposed genitals underneath a little doggy mat. She walks over and she pulls it off, and there she's looking at my flaccid penis.
You should have chubbed up, bro.
I'm sorry, dude.
I don't think you're chubbing up. I'm
going
to explain to you in a minute why that's a horrible idea, but the weirdest part was
no way.
She kept leaving, and when she would come back, she would knock. So the last, like the second or third time she did it, I was like, you don't really have to knock. Like, you've seen my limp genitals. There's really, I mean, I don't know what you think's going to happen, that I'm going to be more humiliated, like,
right.
Like, oh, I was sticking a finger up my ass, like, you know.
No, but you need your vanity. You need your vanity.
All right,
weird. So then what is a stent? A staple?
It's like a rod,
huh?
It's a little tube with a coil.
A little hollow.
Oh, okay,
basically, it's supposed to widen out your ureter to, like, get any trash to flow through. Yeah. So they had to go in there and get it. So, have you ever seen Iron Man 2?
Yes.
Okay, you remember Mickey Rourke had, like, the whiplash?
Yeah.
That's what the thing that they stuck in me looked like.
Really?
Yeah. But it had a little thing on the side, so, it, like, the end of it was a scope, because they had to, like...
Yeah.
They had to go in there
flex head.
And see what they were looking at. And then they stick what looks like dental floss, but into a little lasso.
Through your pee hole.
Yeah, well, they stick that through the little whiplash thing. To the end when they see it so that they can hook it and pull it out.
They can hook it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, dude.
That was pretty horrible.
Well, that's the most amount of action you've had in like a decade, though, right? So it's like there's like
you keep
a,
saying
yeah,
decade.
But I wanna.
But he's not being specific.
I wanted to.
He's throwing numbers out there. You're throwing numbers. You can't be throwing numbers.
It's been like 6 years. But
how long do you think it's been for me? Not that long.
Well, just what before?
Okay, but you.
Okay.
Well, remember I did it though as a kid though.
Yeah,
not
before.
That long. Not
way
6
before.
Years before.
But before? How? Oh well, shit. Was it close? 4.
What?
Nah, I'm just throwing numbers out.
All right, let's move on.
So I had sex recently with the lady, and afterwards she was like, was that good? Was that good? I'm like, she doesn't know. My last sexual experience was with a jack-o'-lantern. I'm like, you're a human. So that's a huge bonus. You know? But my birthday is Halloween. People don't know this. My birthday is Halloween. And ever since I'm 14, I have this tradition. I woke up one day, I was 14 years old, I had a huge boner. I was like, I'm fucking something in the face today, you know? Something's getting fucked in the face today. You know? I'm full of hormones.
Damn.
Then I go trick-or-treating, I'm eating my candy, I'm on a sugar high. I'm scratching myself, it's 4 a.m. in the suburbs of New Jersey. You know what I mean? I see this one jack-o'-lantern with really sexy, tight eye holes. You know? It's been warmed by a candle all day. It's all mushy. You know? That was my first sexual experience. I fucked the face of a jack-o'-lantern right in the eye from about 4:30 a.m. to like 6:15. I came like 9.5 times. My mom found me on the lawn with a minivan. She's like, get in the back next to soccer balls. What are you doing? Fucking a jack-o'-lantern in the face. There's pumpkin seeds on your pants, you dirty bitch.
Okay.
My point is that I want to penetrate somebody. I don't want to be penetrated.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's in the pee hole. So you're saying four before my two?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying?
Yeah. I was just throwing a number out there.
At a funeral, she got done up real nice. You know? Too nice. They put makeup on her, real hot makeup on her. They did her hair all big in the 80s, you know. They put a corset on her. Her titties were popping out the top.
Damn.
A little slinky dress, you know. Like, damn. My mom looks good. The priest went down to bless her. He just put his tongue in her face, you know. Just starts making out with her. Everyone's lining up to pay their respects / cop a feel. My mom looked good in her casket. I think my dad gave her one just for the road. You know, just a road one, you know. Necrophilia jokes, anybody? My dad's got a big dick, though, you know. He's got a big, thick, meaty hog.
Oh,
cars.
Cars? Cars, yeah.
Do you know, when I first moved here, I could not understand.
Wait. Kidney stones. So they had to pull this through your urethra?
Yes.
Through the stent that was in
his beehole.
Were you talking about the stone or the stent?
The stent. You said you had a stent in there. Did they stuck the floss through the stent?
No, they stuck the machine, the whiplash thing.
Yeah.
The fishing rod that they stuck in me.
That's all right.
There's it's hollow inside.
Yeah.
So they take like dental floss and they stick it into because there's a little hole on the side of it and they put it in there. And it gets to the point where the scope is, where they can see the stent.
Yeah.
And then they lasso it.
Oh, they lasso the stent.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because I guess the stent must have like some sort of little ridge or something that they grab.
Yeah.
And they pull it all out.
Ooh. Now, the stent is supposed to make sure nothing gets blocked and have so you can have
it's,
a good
it's
flow.
It's supposed to keep it open so if there's any chunks, anything still in there,
mm-hmm.
it's supposed to come out.
So you're saying that after you have a kidney stone, there might be like chunky bloody material that's gonna get peed out.
Often there's blood in your urine when you get a kidney.
So like, can we talk about lifestyle things? Like, are you not drinking enough water? Is that what's going on? You're not. It's just like po' boys and wine coolers, and then you have a kidney stone.
It's a large assumption. I'm pretty sure you can Google how you get kidney stones.
Okay, it's like, no, you don't get laid for a decade. You drink like
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
It's got everything to do with it.
I don't think it does. He's feeling himself a little extra because he's got some pussy. And it's some loose pussy at that. That motherfucker loose.
Bitch,
don't you come here fucking try to holler. Try to fucking.
Accusations.
Exactly. You know accusations against my homie here. Hold on.
I think Kyle has my back. But, stones are caused by different things. An abundance of red meat causes certain ones.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because they're not all made of calcium. Some of them are made of uric acid, and then there's a third one. But mine was made of uric acid, so apparently I was eating too much red meat. Soft drinks
Sticks.
Don't help. I do drink a lot of water, but I used to drink a lot of soda up mm-hmm. until this past year. And but it's also genetic as well. Like, some people never get them no matter what they eat or drink.
Yeah.
But so some of it's genetic. My little brother has them too, but not to the extent that I do.
So what? Yeah. All right.
Wow. It's so okay. I need to know the pain factor that you felt because you're already sedated while this is happening.
Neither one.
Not sedated. Sedated means you like sleep, but you're numbed up, right?
Numbed up with lidocaine local.
It was painful. It wasn't excruciating because, like I said, I took 2 oxycodone 20 minutes before, and then they gave me the lidocaine. But it was painful. Like, there's no, like...
Any whiskey? Any rum? You know?
No. No, I didn't want to be drunk and having them shove things at me, because...
Now, you say the reason why it would have been a bad thing to chub up.
Yeah, you don't want anything like... Okay, when your dick gets hard, it gets thicker.
It gets thick, yeah.
I don't want them shoving, like, this rod in me as my, you know... Also, like I said, like, it's really fucking embarrassing, you know, like, there's this old man and this beautiful, like, 23-year-old woman, she was probably, like, 26, but whatever, like, and they're shoving things inside my dick. There's no part of me that's like,
this is about to be exciting. Right, yeah. You know? I mean, unless you're in the penis hole fingering, which is, there's a name for that, but
yeah, I know there's videos like that on the internet. My mother used to go look at that, and you're like, oh, come see this.
No, thank you. This is way too much.
I'm into weird shit. But
yeah, not that. No. Not that at all. It seems like, how do you even get to that process to where a chick is sticking her tongue up your pee
hole? I did give her a funny line, though, because she was preparing. She says, she's like, are you allergic to anything? I was like, yeah, people shoving things in my dick. And she kind of giggled, but Ned sort of like, ha, 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 you know.
Yeah.
I don't think she thought it was
funny. So you were up the whole time.
She had a ring on her finger.
Mm, so you
were...
Are
you talking about your old ring, Bo?
You were up the whole time. The whole time you were...
Yeah, well, he offered, he was like, look, if you want, you get surgery, and they can do what they did to you last time, but that's going to cost you $2,000. So I was like, all right, I'll take the pain.
Yeah.
It was $50. All right.
Wow. What is $2,000 to $50? Oh, the copay.
Yeah. Well, but he's not cutting me open.
Yeah, that's different.
I mean, the surgery would have been whatever it ends up being, 45 minutes, an hour.
Yeah.
You know.
How long did that take?
The actual surgery?
No, not the surgery, but what you went through. The removing of your dick hole. The last thing that you went through.
Probably 10 minutes from the time she told me to take down my bottoms to...
Oh. Okay, that wasn't... I figured it would be a lot longer or something like that. That's not too bad.
You know what the weird part was? It was kind of a good day. Like, I took the day off.
You got out of the house.
Yeah,
played video games.
I actually had that thought. I was like, you know...
I'm on oxycodone.
Yeah, that's true.
I Ubered there. Relaxing.
But yeah, it still burns when I pee a little bit. It's almost fully healed up. But
isn't it crazy how the penis heals a lot quicker than you would expect?
I've never really had penis injuries though. Like, you know what I mean?
I've
like,
pissed too hard through my pee hole and ripped the skin.
Really? What?
Yeah. Like if you try to pee in the morning, you try to force it, you can rip the inner membrane.
Oh,
you
can
rip the fuck out of it.
Oh, yeah,
No,
I do that whenever
just...
they do that random testing, like the drug testing.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, you got to pee now, but it's all random, so they don't tell you they're showing up. And, like, by then, I've already taken my morning piss.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, you need to drink, like, 3 fucking Kool-Aids and pee in a cup.
It's difficult to just pee. All
right, I got to pee against the dumpster. I'll be right back.
Did all you right, really?
Well, I guess we're going to keep going.
Yeah. I don't understand it. Is this car on?
Yeah, I guess so.
I hate this fucking car. I can't stand a goddamn Prius. Motherfucker, I never knew. Like, you sit here and it's like, nah, what's going on? Is it on or is it idle? I'm never sure.
Well, it's got that double battery shit because it's. I mean, it's not really good for saving the environment, but they think... You know, there's a bathroom inside. I don't know why he keeps peeing on the dumpster.
Is it? What?
That's the second time he's done that in the last hour.
I thought he was just saying some shit. I thought he was going to go inside and pee.
No.
Because it's a nice bathroom inside. He's really pissing by the...
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. He said he was in a weird mood, so...
That'll get you fucking... Don't get caught doing that shit.
This is probably... I mean, I know, I'm sure... I've heard the Highway Diaries. I know it gets weird, but... It's probably the only episode I'll ever have where we're looking at him peeing and describing it.
Yeah, he is. He's by the dumpster.
It's a long pee.
Yeah, it's quite a while. Like it might be because he's cold or something like that, and the dick don't want to fucking cooperate, which is possible.
Yeah.
I was hoping for them to turn and go towards the dumpster and fucking bright his ass up. Just put him in the lights.
Well, while we're here, because I was talking to he was mentioning like we're in the Prius now.
Yes.
And he's now running. He's running to the car.
He's running back to the car. All right.
Y'all right there?
How dare you?
Is that a?
Okay. Oh boy, I just pee.
Yeah, you pee by the dumpster though.
Yeah, what?
These are perfectly good PJs right there.
Okay, but do I have to like walk in? I gotta open the door.
I just figured that's what you were gonna do. I mean, why not? Huh? I mean, it's cold outside.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
I can't get with you on that. Like,
the
easiest thing in the world is pee.
Yeah.
Apparently now you got fucking stents in your dick and shit.
That's
like that.
Different.
All right, let me tell you this. You know, like, well, as an Uber driver, I constantly am Ubering around, you know what I mean? I got to drop people off. Holding your pee is, like, the hardest thing, the hardest part of the job. And I have, like, such a weak bladder. And there's been times where I'm like,
DC booth.
I pee on fucking people's hair. I you know, drop off two-lane girls. I'm, like, out of my mind. I have to pee so bad. I'm like, I'll pee on a rich person's face right now in Uptown. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to pee.
I mean, that's better money than Uber.
I pee. Yeah, right? You got to get paid for that. But, yeah, like, I pee on rich people's houses all day. I'm like, the rich people always have nice landscaping. I, like, you know, pop in there. I'm peeing in their bushes. I, like, hop myself into their bush. Hide under the
But that's different. That's you on the job and you like, oh, I can't stop. I gotta. But we are at PJ's parking lot. We are in
PJ's
the parking
coffee.
Lot.
Yeah.
You already got you some coffee, so you pay for some shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To me, it's just part of the game now.
I mean, that kind of makes me like kind of against you because like some poor Mexican gardener worked hard on that shrubbery.
Yeah.
And you're ruining his fucking work by
ruining
people.
It. Ruining
that, that,
it.
That guy worked really hard on that
I
shrubbery.
I take a lot of vitamin supplements. My pee has a lot of nutrients in it. You know what I mean? He gets back. He's like, why are my azaleas like off the charts right now? I'll tell you why. Caladoc pissed all over them.
I don't think it's that good bacteria that the plants
want.
Yeah.
It's a Wild West in New Orleans, you know. They have drive-through daiquiri shops. You're allowed to drink and drive. You just can't be drunk. Closed container, daiquiri. You can drink and drive, you just can't be drunk. That's like saying, you can get a blowjob on the highway, you just can't come, you know? It's like, all right, whatever you gotta tell a tax man. I'm gonna be drunk driving, get my dick sucked, blowing loads all over that town. Doctor, officer, you can fill out the paperwork however you want. I know my rights. You ever get a blowjob when you're like too drunk? You know, you're like so drunk you get a blowjob. And you have no idea if you're gonna pee or cum. But you never tell the lady the danger she's in. You're just trying to focus, like, is this coming out my pee-pee tube or my pleasure tube? You don't know. You don't know the Russian roulette you're playing with her mouth, you know? Because once it leaves your body, not your problem. So I dated a girl with a kid, you know. I'll never do that again. Staying this girl with a kid. One time he goes to me. How do I want to do this? Okay. He goes to me and he's like, you know, I think mom would like you more if you had long hair and like tattoos and played guitar and drank more and like punched us. You know? That's a hell of a way to find out what mom's type is, you know. But I didn't want to be like some fucked up stepdad, some fair weather stepdad. I wanted to support whatever that kid wanted to do, that little boy, you know. I still think about that little boy. I was like, hey man, who do you like on the bus? Any cute girls on the bus, you know, any cute girls? Any cute boys on the bus, any cute boys, you know? Any cute trans students? You watch a lot of anime porn. Is the mascot sexy? What do you like? What do you like, little boy? I support it. So many fair weather parents out there. They're like, oh, my kid's gay. Instagram. I'm so proud my kid's gay. Came out of the closet. He said, Instagram. You know? But they don't Instagram picture when it comes home in a Klan outfit. You know what I mean? Fair weather parents. That's why I asked them right off. Who do you hate? Huh, kid? Who do you hate? Do you hate Spanish people? The Jews? Guatemalans? You know, Eskimos? Mexicans. Who do you hate? Because the pure hate of a child is a perfect hate. It's an innocent hate. There's something special about it. You're a fucked up parent if you won't pay for the white supremacy camp or the face swastika tattoo. That's when you're a fucked up parent. That's when you're squashing the dreams of your little ones. A lot of fair weather parenting going on there, you know what I mean? But after dating a girl with a kid, I think I'm getting a vasectomy. I totally don't want a kid at all, even a little bit. I don't want a kid. Right? But I'm worried about the vasectomy just sexually, you know? Will it affect my loads, you know? Because there's a big difference between applesauce and apple juice. I don't want to come all over somebody's face and she's like, did you just pee on me? Some kind of fucked up jellyfish liquid? You know what I mean? Like, where's the cream? Where's the cum? Where's the real cum? Did you even enjoy yourself? There's no chunks in this applesauce. I think I watched too much porn. Where's the cum? I want all the cum. I want it to be chunky and abusive. I watch weird porn. I watch so much porn, I can't even, it's hard to even get a boner with a girl. You know, because I've gone down such dark rabbit holes of porn. I've seen so much fucked up porn, I can't even get a boner with a girl. I broke my dick. The internet broke my dick. I can't even get an erection unless I see like a purple minotaur fuck a pig in the face with a screen. And then he shoots eggs all over her. I've gathered more territory. And then I get more shield points.
Accusations.
You might with the loosey goosey that you fucking with.
Wow, that is so disrespectful.
Motherfucker, she
what evidence do you have?
What evidence? I ain't never been cheek to cheek with any white girl ever.
Cheek to cheek?
Cheek to cheek, nigga.
What does that mean?
She came up and put her cheek on my cheek and I didn't even know her.
Oh, you were hugging?
Huh? No, she came and gave me a kiss. I was like, I didn't even know your name.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She was kissing people on cheek.
What? I'm not used to that.
Do black girls not do that?
No.
White
especially
girls
if they
do
don't
that.
Know
I don't,
nobody.
I don't know why. I'm with you. Like,
yeah,
when,
if
like,
you don't know nobody, just don't be kissing
like
nobody
when
in the face.
You meet somebody's wife or something like that, and they're like, oh, and they kiss you on the cheek. It's always like
that's
eh.
A bit much. That's a bit much.
Really,
I'm
I
like,
grew
this,
up
this
with that.
You grew up with that.
Yeah.
Why? Where?
No, my really? Aunts would always go like, hey, I love you.
That's different. So you kiss your mom and daddy in the mouth.
No.
You weren't one of those kids
no,
that kissed
no, no.
their parents in
no,
the mouth.
No, no, no. You know that like faux mouth, side cheek business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would get. That's what you got.
Right.
I kissed my mom on the mouth until I was probably like 18. And
that's different. That's still family,
it.
Though.
That's super weird.
That's still family. When
it's
you meet somebody
mom.
For the first time, you maybe expect a hand, fucking hug.
Yeah.
No, she came in, hey. I'm like, I don't know you.
I
like
honestly
this.
Don't want to hug from somebody I just met either.
It is awkward. I don't hug people. I
See,
don't
that,
hug people.
That's like a massive.
That I do know.
That's like
as
a
often.
Massive assumption leap off of like a little kissy on the cheek. That's like a, you know what I mean.
Nah, but she was extra loose. Drunk and she was like all over the bar with that shit.
Like, the reason we told John to come back was because, like, John, you had enough white women. Like, let Eric have one.
Yeah. What?
What you mean,
you
what?
Think he had a chance there?
Had a chance? He wouldn't have mattered if he had a chance or not. John is John.
Is John that successful?
I don't know. But he be always having white girls. I mean, I don't be liking them, but, you know, that's
he's
John.
He's dating a fucking male trans.
Yeah, well, fuck it. The last time we had a dyke, and I was like, all right. But they were all white.
Whoa, wait.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he's dating a transgender now?
Apparently, that's what he's saying. From female to, female to male.
Yeah, but he... Okay, but like,
so say.
Okay, but like, you know, making a lot of assumptions about my girl, but like, I bring, you know, my girlfriend, you know, I bring her around your place, you know. I never seen John's tranny, you know what
after
I'm saying?
After 2 weeks, though, that's your old lady now?
Three.
Shit, really? You
know what I'm saying? Woo, you were fast.
No, I've known her for about...
I don't know. You said something about 3 weeks and y'all been dating for 10 days.
He smashed the first night.
Mm-hmm.
He smashed the first night.
Accusations.
No, that's, no. That's more than four.
Look, all right. Don't
accusations.
Worry about it.
Right, I'm not accusing shit.
Okay.
You put this here for me?
Yeah, but you want that?
I do
so
not.
Tell me.
You do not?
No.
Because this isn't just Highway Diaries. Tell me about your special that you're working on.
Okay, so I got a Kickstarter right now. I'm raising money for something called Conspiracies and Dick Jokes. You know, Kyle Smith was in my Kickstarter video.
Pretty good video.
And Lance Arnold put it together for me. Now, you know, for me, you know, getting a master in screenwriting, it's like, that doesn't mean that anyone's going to ever read a screenplay of mine. The only way that you can kind of push yourself into the conversation is if you have a stand-up special. Because everybody knows it's so fucking hard to have an hour of material. But, you know, y'all know I've been working my ass off. I think I got that now. And I keep very good notes at home of how much time I have. And that's how much time I have. So I was like, all right, well, if I don't have a stand-up special, you know, I'm not gonna do anything with my life. So I want to have a stand-up special and my master in screenwriting and 5 screenplays and then move to New York after I graduate. So
New York is the goal?
Yeah, you know, I lived in L.A. already. Right. I don't know. We'll see. Like, if I could get a job teaching screenwriting during the day.
Really? Why don't you just tell us how to do it?
Huh?
Hmm?
Tell you how to do what?
To screenwriting.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wrote a screenplay like once.
It's not like a day job telling y'all how to write screenplays. I could just point to some books and save you all some time.
Yeah, I don't read.
Well,
they got audiobooks? Yeah, I read a lot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You read a script? You wrote one once?
Yeah.
Is it properly formatted? That's the biggest thing I always tell people about screenwriting. I always read people in my class stuff. Okay, like, let's say you wanted to write music, but you don't know how to write music. You wouldn't just write on a piece of paper like, oh, hey, bass player, here, you should perform this. And it just says on a piece of paper like, boom, boom, bam, boom, boom, bam, boom, boom, boom. It's like, that's not fucking music. You gotta learn how to write music, right?
You gotta learn how to read music first.
So so all that stuff. So if you write a screenplay, you have to learn how to format it. You know, you can't just write montage anywhere. Montage of this, montage of that. You can't just write time dash. You have to know exactly where to put everything and how to format it perfectly. I always say, you want to have your screenplay pass the no test. If an agent opens it and goes, no! And close it immediately, they're not going to read it. You know what? They don't have to. They know that you didn't put the time to learn how to format things properly. And there's a book called The Hollywood Standard by Christopher Riley where he describes in great detail, time dash, you write like this. Cut to, you write like this. Montage, you write like this. It's right about everything. If you don't have that book, you're fucked. Because you'll make up your formatting and it's going to be wrong. And a lot of people say, I have formatting software. Okay, but that doesn't tell you everything. It just indents things in certain ways. But you have to know how to use it. You have to know how to write music in order to read it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then...
it's the other way. You gotta learn how to read music.
Yeah, you gotta learn how to read and write music. Just like you have to read and write books and shit like that. Yeah, I don't know.
But it's like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Get the book, The Hollywood Standard, by Christopher Riley. Get the book, Save the Cat, by Blake Snyder. Read both of those, and before you even just think about putting a screenplay together. Next question.
Wayne actually has it. I don't know what he did with it. There was some talk of doing a what probably I would find humiliating, reenactment of it. Not reenactment, but
a reading.
Yeah, like maybe one of those stage readings, or try to do like a little like shitty play out of it. I don't know. I don't know if I'd let it get that far, because I don't know. I was 23, so it's very introspective in the way that someone who's barely above a teenager can be. I thought it was kind of funny, but really, really shitty.
I fucking hate this car, dude.
It's not just always on. Sometimes it just goes in electric mode.
But it's on.
It's on in electric mode, but sometimes the electric battery runs out, so then the gas motor has to keep
going. The whole time, basically, your car has been ignited. It's on. Like, it's not off, it's on, but it's idling.
It's idling, but when it has a full battery, then you don't need to have the gas out on. The gas just kicked on because the battery died, so then the gas kicks on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we got a open mic coming out.
Yeah, so Babylon Friday,
November 26th, I believe.
25th.
There you go.
How do we feel about that?
It's the day after Thanksgiving.
Day after.
I'm gonna be hosting the open mic at the Babylon Sports Bar. Starts at 10, maybe 10:15, and we'll be rolling till 11:30 or something like that.
What?
Depending on how many comics show up. I'm also headlining tomorrow the Black Label Ice House. So I think Garrett's going to have me open the show with 15 minutes.
Is that what's happening? Why is that? How do you feel about that?
I think that's okay.
No, I mean, just like having a headliner.
Open?
Just having a headliner anywhere.
In an open mic?
Yeah. Like any
I don't know.
Portion of it. It seems like it throws it off. It seems like it throws it off, the old fucking vibe of everything. Because once Xander finished, I was like, I don't feel like being here anymore.
Yeah.
I was kind of drained after that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good show. We're just all living in his world.
I mean, you can also have a say-so, though. I mean, you also have a say-so in other people's world. So, you know, you mentioned something, somebody might have a better idea, a different perspective of looking at things.
I'm not sure.
What are you not sure about?
I mean, I think he's experimenting. At first, he put Xander as a headliner fifth, and now he's going to have a headliner open so that there's the most crowd. When the crowd gathers, then we're going to do it. I think he's testing it out. I think he's not sure exactly how to do it, so he's moving it around. I don't know.
It just seems strange.
It does seem strange, because it's like instead of everyone having an equal five, then it's like there's a feature player, right?
Well, how do you think? How you feel about that? Howlin' Wolf, that new format with Red Bean.
Man, I think it's good.
Yeah,
I
but just, still, it's not fair still, because like you know his people, even though that's his people, but he still puts them in the middle.
Okay, so to parse this out, so the Howlin' Wolf, Mike Comedy Gumbo. Now they have like a feature performer who does 10 minutes. Then like
an opener and then a headliner.
Yeah, an opener who does 15 and then someone who does 20 and then the open mic starts.
I think it's 7, then 10, and then 15.
Okay, 7, 10, 15. Yeah. So opener, 7.
No, feature.
Feature, 10.
The feature is before the opener?
No, well, the feature is the middle.
The feature is the middle. It's the opener. It's the opener has 7 and the feature has 10 and then the headliner has 15. And then from there on, it starts everybody else, and he does a pot, and he fucking shakes it up, and he puts people in the order. And anybody else that comes after he does that order, they get 5 minutes. But those people that actually catch the order, they get 7 minutes. So
I think it's fine. I mean, the big problem I had with Comedy Gumbo before he set up that format was you never know when you're going to go on.
Mm-mm.
And it would change, and he would forget. So we would go, you're after that person.
And then
four more people would go up, and you'd be like, but I was after that person.
Uh-huh.
So now it's like there's stickies on a piece of paper. You know when you're going, period.
Yeah. But so, you also got, well, you know, because they all, Red Bean, I mean, Terry and fucking Nature Boy, which ones are usually there, they're always going to do their sets. It's always going to be the same thing. And it's like, well, you could always put them at the end if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I would say in general, like, I have this problem with a lot of people. Like, it's like, you got to constantly write new jokes, man. You know, if you're not writing new jokes, I don't know what you're doing. Like, are you a jukebox or are you, and I was naming a lot of other names that do the same, that have the same problem.
It's not like motherfuckers just make one album, you know? Motherfuckers continually to make the albums. Like, it's fucking, I don't understand how you just going to ride off of this one fucking set.
There is a mentality. I think it's all based on two things, laziness and fear. I think if you're doing the same 10 minutes for 5 years, you're lazy and you're fearful. Because you're like, this is how I feel comfortable, and I'm not gonna try new stuff.
It just seems so.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
You've
been
doing 5 years and you only have 10 minutes. You might as well quit.
Yeah. This is retarded. It's ridiculous. You know? That's like, dude, really? Doesn't that feel icky? It feels icky to me to keep reciting shit, certain shit, especially.
Yeah.
You know.
Sometimes, but also if you do old bits, like I've been doing some bits, and then. If I'm doing them for a while, I'm like, oh, wait, I can do this bit, and then I can add.
Yeah.
I can add.
That's what I did last night at the Candy Coochie show, which was a very fun time.
Yeah.
After the Second Line show, which is, you know, our sketch comedy group, we had the Murder Mystery, which was a good turnout. I went to Candy Coochie and just randomly just started talking about this black dude that was outside. He was extra black, like very dark. And so I talked about him, and I just kept it random. And going from there, I gauged the crowd, and from there, that's where I judged on what my first joke was going to be, and I just kind of built it from there, and it went well. It went really good, you know, but that's just shit that I was confident with. Like, the shit that I've been having lately, I got new stuff, but I don't want to use it just yet because I still want to, you know, polish up this other stuff that I'm working on, but this newer shit, oh, I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait. And I'm like, motherfucker, you always thinking of new shit, especially if you in this world. Like, if you do comedy, you always going to think of some new shit. There's no time that you're not going to think of new shit. I always wonder how motherfucker rappers and shit always coming out with songs because, man, you always thinking of some shit. It's like,
you're a rapper? That means every morning you wake up, you have coffee, you're a rapper. Let's write raps.
Mm-hmm. And these motherfuckers just like, ew. What? You go here with confidence everywhere with this same fucking 10, 15 minutes that you're using. You know, it pisses me off. Because I'm like, man, I work a lot harder than you, but you know, you swear you're doing something. It's like, I don't feel as if you're doing shit. You know, it's like,
man,
you're not working on that shit no
more.
There's
some names that are on the tip of my tongue that I just want to rattle off so
no,
hard
it's
right
fucking,
now.
It,
but it is an epidemic. A lot of people have that problem because it's like, this works. I'm going to say this tonight. And then instead of, you know, writing, you're like, let me drink and enjoy my life and get through my day job and blah, blah, blah. And then when I go up on stage, I'll tell my jokes. And I enjoy doing that. But, you know, I also think a part of it has to eat away at you because...
It's got to.
If you see that a lot of the audience is like... comics,
mm-hmm.
like you can compartmentalize. You're like, okay, I see that there's 40 people that are actually audience members tonight.
Right.
But then you know that there's 15 comics around at
right.
all time. So like, why would you tell all the comics like I'm a hack?
That basically, yeah. That's exactly what you're doing when you get up there
yeah.
and you know you've been saying the same jokes and shit. I'm like, it's. You need to be, because you're setting an example for us. We're the young comedians and we're coming up here and you've been in the game and this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
What type of an example is that? Bitch, that means for me, I'm about to come up and shit on you because I'm going to be way better than what you are. And I'm not about to stop writing. I don't understand that.
For me, it's all about like getting through fear is the biggest hurdle of comic. Because like everyone, you know, is afraid to talk, afraid to do their jokes, afraid of
mm-hmm.
being judged, afraid of everything. And so like, but I just see that doing the same jokes over and over is such a manifestation of that fear. It's like, you know, I can't get through this hurdle. I can only eat, you know, I don't know. I have to eat this every morning. I eat, you know, a toast and eggs, and I never experiment with granola bars. I do this and that, and that makes me comfortable.
Stay on the same routine,
you know what I'm
every
saying?
Day. No, I mean, you got to get outside that box, man. You can't just stay in that box the whole time.
It's everything. That's... Your life changes everything if you're like, no, I'm gonna eat something new for breakfast every day, and I'm gonna write a new joke every day, and I'm gonna go to a new place for lunch every day.
You gotta change everything. But it's hard. People are depressed. This country is not easy to make a living. Nobody has health care, nobody has insurance, nobody has anything, you know. Except you're in a union, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are fucked financially. And
I see that, though.
You know what I'm saying?
But I was in a situation like this. I didn't just fucking wake up and like, oh, yeah, I just got shit. Nah, I was here after Katrina. And motherfuckers don't see that shit. Yeah. I was in a fucking trailer. I had to buy propane. If I ain't had no propane, bitch, I ain't had no hot water. And from there, bitch, I had a car that I was still paying notes on. You know, but I was working at Wing Zone, and so that wasn't paying enough. So it's like, well, if I ain't got no goddamn fucking email or fucking mailbox, you know, if I don't have that, they're not gonna be able to find a car. So, you know, that's just how kind of my life was going. And then from there, getting into the union, ever since I've been in the union, it's been a lot better. But that start. Yeah. From there to get to that point, that was a struggle. You know, it wasn't fun. I don't understand. Like, what the fuck John's doing now is dumb as shit. It's dumb as fuck because he's fucking himself over. And it's fucking pissing me off because he's trying to go ahead and you know, do this with other people and do that. But you want people to take care of you, son. That's not about to happen. That's not. Like, you fucked up because you were drinking on the job. And now you lost your job, and now you got to find something else. But you do mediocre shit. That shit pisses me off, though. I'm like, man, you need to fucking work harder than that. If you're trying to go to fucking California and be this person and be that person, man, you ain't going to fucking make it, son. Don't do that shit because you're going to be homeless out there.
Yeah. I'm concerned about John Rowe as well, but...
That should be blowing me, son. I'm like, no, bro. No. Like, when Kenny was trying to come back down here. He was like, hey, man, we about to do this thing. I was like, bitch, we ain't friends on Facebook,
yeah,
son.
But also, like...
You serious?
But, you know, Kenny Harris and John Rowe are starting to share something in common.
Very much so.
Every time I saw Kenny... And John Rowe is infinitely more talented than Kenny
Way
Harris.
More talented. That's why I'm like, why are you doing this?
Every time Kenny Harris saw me at Siberia, he would go, buy me a beer, buy me a beer, buy me a beer, buy me a beer, buy me a beer.
Every and time I saw that nigga.
Talking about, like, what he's going to do with his life. And it's like, okay, so I just see you as, like, a homeless person
mm-hmm.
who's begging me for change on the street.
Basically.
And then, like, John Rowe, he sees me at Carrollton. He's like, I'm eating chicken wings that I worked hard Ubering to pay for. And he's like, give me a chicken wing. You know what I mean? Like, every time I see him, it's just like, what can I get out of this guy?
I'll go half on something. It's like, no, man. You're not about to be that friend you're not about to be that bummy friend, son. I don't have bummy friends. Like, yeah. I got friends that ask for shit when they need shit, but that's, you know, that's friends that, you know, we've all done stuff for. It's just, no, bro, I'm tired of this bummy friend shit.
That's like why, you know, like every time, you know, there's the UFC at your house, what do I bring? I bring a case of beer,
Manchu chicken. Everybody brings
like,
something.
Okay, well, I understand that a pay-per-view costs $60, so mm-hmm. let me bring, you know,
yeah.
$50 of Manchu and a, mm-hmm. and a case of beer. Why? Because then we're all in this together, you
right.
know what I mean?
In cahoots. That's a good thing.
But if it's like you got a bunch of... extra motherfuckers
right
nothing it's like cool
it's crazy because you know motherfuckers they see that oh you got something and it's like well I need a hand up and it's like well bitch I ain't get a hand up to get here I understand that you going through something but you can't just no you're not about to just sleep on my floor son I think Kenny's like hey man let me come down and sleep on your floor. I'm like, what the fuck? No, bitch, we haven't hung out like that.
And also, it's like every time I see you, you're like, buy me a beer, and then it's like, let me sleep on your floor. It's like,
yeah, no, dude, no.
It's like, let me just kiss your legs. Let me just rub on you. You know,
it doesn't make
take
sense.
Take me out to dinner for that shit.
It gets me to the core. Like when people beg, I really be wanting to give it to homeless people. I'm like, I understand where you at this point in time. Not vets. Veterans, most vets are a little different. They got mental problems. But the motherfuckers that look younger than me, that just out there, let me get a quarter. Damn, get the fuck out of my face. Go somewhere. I'm pretty sure you can find you a boy's home or a fucking, like a bridge house or something like that. Some place that'll take you in and you don't have to be in the cold and you can work to get fucking somewhere, but they just be so lazy, you don't want to do shit.
Yeah.
It's like, I hate a motherfucker that's just so lazy. I'm like, stop being lazy. It's not going to get you anywhere. Motherfuckers, I hate people that see me and it's like, man,
you really got some nice stuff. Cuz, nigga, I worked for it. Bitch, I went to school for 4 years for electrical. Bitch, I've been doing electric for 11. It's something that you can't take from me, you know?
And it's also like, you know, I'm in grad school. Every day I go to school. And then I Uber. And then, like, there's nothing extra. I'm, like, on the bone all the time. So even if I give myself chicken wings, like, that's my dinner, man. That's, yeah. That's my dinner that I'm eating. So it's like if I, every time. And then last night at 14 Parishes, as soon as John Rowe sees me, he starts eyeballing me. Buy me Coke. Buy me this. I was like, man, get the. And I yelled at him. I was like, every time you see me, it's just like, what can I get out of this dumb motherfucker that gives me stuff sometimes? You know what I mean? And then he gets grabby. I gave him one chicken wing at Carrollton, and he starts grabbing from my fucking carrots and shit. I'm like, all right, you're done now.
Hey, I can't. He's one of them people that eat with all his fingers, like all of them.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I went to Covington, the Rock and Blues one time. Gigi got herself a burger, right? He when she's on stage, he finds her burger, takes a huge bite of it, and
puts
it back.
She hates that shit, son. She can't stand that. Oh, he just
does,
be eating.
Does anybody like it when you eat opened their food? Her fucking tray? She brought her burger on stage with her to avoid that situation.
Yes.
And then she put it off to the side, and the second she's like into a joke, he's like boom, goes right for the burger, takes a huge bite.
Disrespect,
it's
yo.
So disrespectful. It's so like, dude, you can't
that
just get
up.
Shit, man.
That's be fucked up. I had a friend like that in high school that he dropped out his senior year. Like we was just about to graduate. Like, you know, he made it. He fucking became a senior shit. And he just never came back. Dropped out of school. Didn't tell nobody. Went to Texas. I just started talking back to him again. Like maybe 2 years ago. It's like, son, I've been out of school since 2004.
Yeah.
What the fuck were you doing? Like, you couldn't, like, this is one of our homies. Like, John hangs with us. Like, he was one of the homies. Like, we had a crew. Everybody, everywhere we went, motherfuckers know, they friends. They're real good friends. Yeah. They just up and leave and not say shit. I'm like, what the fuck? But he was one of those moochie-ass niggas. He was one of them moochie-ass niggas. It's like, hey, man, let me sleep here. Hey, let me ask your people if I can stay on the floor. Like, okay, cool. You know, but he'd play it as, oh, man, let me sleep over. You know, like a sleepover or some shit like that because we was young. It's like, yeah, cool. And then that sleepover would be like, all right, nigga, you still here. What are you doing, bitch? We go to school. So ain't your mama looking for you? Like, I don't understand how you just out like this.
Yeah.
All times of the night. But he was real hood. He was a real project. And that's when, you know, you like, if you ever seen, like, real project, like, real poverty project, it's a hard life. Like, fucking small house. One bathtub, one bathroom, everybody take a bath in that same bath water. And you gotta hurry up. You gotta hurry up so the water don't get cold. Mm. I was in there, I went to sleep at his house one time. I'd never do it again. Fucking went to sleep at his house, so I was like, oh, okay, cool. Go ahead and take a bath. Went in there and fucking pull the drain. Somebody didn't fucking, you know, drain the tub.
Yeah, my friend grew up in Africa, dealt with that sort of thing. It was five of them, and then when the bath water was done, they'd use it to, like, flush the toilet.
Shit, yeah.
Damn.
Hard times. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know. Motherfuckers like, nah, man, you go ahead, get in there. I'm like, what? Get in there?
But that's
you can't
also,
even see the bottom.
That's also, like, having kids before you have an ability to,
establishment.
Like,
being established, yeah.
It's like you don't just start blowing loads having kids before you can, like,
that's
afford,
the best
like,
means
all
the daddy's
best.
Gone. He ain't had no daddy. No, everybody on that street, it was just a mama, basically. It was just somebody's mother and, like, four kids to a house. And it's like, no, man. It's, you know, it's at hard times. But, you know, he may do, but it's like, dude, you can't keep doing this, son. You gotta do something with your life. You can't just keep asking and begging and bumming.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, the biggest indicator of lack of success is like coming from a single parent household. It's because you can't afford anything. Like you can't afford a decent education. You know, and there's people that do it that make their way up to like being whatever it is, CEOs, celebrities, whatever.
And that's the thing. It'd be something like if I've been seeing you like this, if like you've been trying and you couldn't make it. Nah. He went to school with us.
Yeah.
Like he had everything that he was supposed to have. He the one that dropped out. It's like, dude, if you get in school and, like, why is that the thing for you just to go ahead and drop out? No, man.
Maybe Maybe it's a lack of ambition.
Yeah, it was a lack of something. I mean, but he was talented too. He could draw his ass off, left-handed, fucking. Yeah, it was just he had everything going for him. It was just he just decided to be bummy. And now it's crazy now. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. I mean, we know what he's doing, but it just seems kind of fishy. It's
like, oh. What, he's slinging drugs?
No, he's not slinging nothing. It's just the Facebook life that he's living, it don't seem like him. Everything seems kind of falsified.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know. I mean,
projection.
Played it, yeah.
Projecting an image that's like super.
Right,
nice.
Right. Right.
Like, I was at your house. I bathed in the same
bathwater
as your brother. Yeah. But it's you like, living all Gucci and shit.
Yeah, I'm like, what's happening? I mean, okay, it's been some years and I ain't seen you, but that's not the same white woman you've been with. And you look actually happy right now. I'm not really sure what's going on. You know, I just stay away from it, though. I'm like, whatever. Because most of the time, if you come up grungy, it's like, oh, you on some shit. I understand that you've been on some shit. Well, that's cool. I'm not about to give you shit. No, you just about to come up begging. But, like, they just had this guy, fucking, he just looked like he fucking had a bad fucking life. Because he was there, solid dude. Like, looked like he worked out and everything. Looked like he might have just got kicked out from his family or from something. You know, he out there on the streets and shit. Me and Kamari, we went and got some pizza. And he came in there, motherfucker, he asked the dude for a dollar, and somebody was just shitting on him. Very, very shitty to him. And dude just looked at him. And was like, man, I could easily just bruise you right now if I felt, because dude was solid. He was a big dude. And it seemed like he was going through some shit. And motherfucker came up to me and was like, hey, man, I'm just hungry, son. You can give me something. I bang, bought him two pizzas right there. I was like, here you go, dude.
Yeah, I would buy pizza, but not give money,
that's,
man.
Yeah, yeah. No. I was at the, what you call it? I was like, I can easily go ahead and buy you a pizza. I'm like, give dude a pizza and shit. You know, got him a pizza. He's like, I can get a drink, too. I'm like, sure, man. You cool, you know? And then, boom, gave him a pizza. He's like, man, thank you, son. Thank you. He was very appreciative of it. And then as soon as he backed up, he bumped in like just a random nigga, and he was like, man, you better watch where the fuck you going. I'm like, dude, it ain't even need to be like that. Are you serious? Yeah. Like, this man's been going through so much today. Now, just because he bumped into you and you drunk, you kind of ran into this nigga, you won't fucking yell and start bucking. Like, he could easily break his jaw. Like, if he felt like it. Like, the motherfucker's just running off at the mouth because they got that liquid courage. I'm like, waiting. And I'd probably give him two stumps on the way out just for him being a dick, you know? But he didn't do shit. He was just like, whatever, and fucking just walked off. I was like, damn.
Yeah. I don't know. But also, going back to me yelling at that bus driver, you know, in Jersey, everyone would yell at each other all the time for everything, and we would take it kind of serious. Because, like, you know, in high school, like, there was, like, not just bullying, but, like, very specific. You know, it was, like, well, you don't do your Spanish homework, and that's why you're a shitty boyfriend, and that's why you know what I mean? It would be like, bah, 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 bah. But one of my teachers said something really interesting. I had this teacher called, for business, of screenwriting. And he goes, bringing it back to screenwriting, he goes, like, you know, don't just say, oh, when I get a Hollywood contract, then I'll write a good screenplay, then I'll really put an effort in it.
What?
That's like saying, oh, well, I'm gonna be a good boyfriend when I get the girlfriend with the big tits. No, if you're a shitty boyfriend now, you'll always be a shitty boyfriend, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It manifests in every single right. way. So it's like, you can't just be like, oh, well, when this happens, then I'll be good at that. No,
like,
your whole life is your whole life.
Yeah.
So that's why I get aggravated, I get yelly, I have a lot of beefs with people. Mm-hmm. But it's because I think a lot of people, like, they're like, you can't tell me nothing. But my opinion is, like, if someone tells me something and they're right, I'll go, damn, all right, let me try to change my behavior. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Is that, you know, if you're just stubbornly going, no, this is what I'm doing, you can't tell me nothing, then you're always going to be a dumb fuck your whole life.
Yeah.
If you take other people's comments and you change how your lifestyle based on other people saying exactly what's wrong with you, then you're going to get better and better and better and better.
That's kind of what motherfucker John does. Because, like, when we was at 14 parishes and you told him something, and he was like, no, I'm not. And I'm just like, dude, this.
But, like, Kyle, you were trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
And he kept yelling. I go, John, Kyle's talking.
Yeah.
Blah, you can't. Don't be disrespectful. Just shut the fuck up.
Just shut up, dude. Like, we're trying to do something, son. Stop acting like a child. And I don't get this whole little childish thing. It's for attention, but it's like you need to, he needs to cut that out. I don't get that. Like, I don't like when people, because I know myself. I'm 31 years old. You know, I don't need to be around other motherfuckers that don't act their age. Like, it just seems weird now. It's like I'm not about to hang out with a teenager. It doesn't feel right. I need to hang out with a person of my peer. You know, and so for somebody to just be like, I can't stand shit like that. Yeah. I can't. I don't like for people to be loud.
Hey, I can't be around this right now because it's like, it's just yelling for yelling's sake. No, I don't know.
It seems like that's like life, though. Like, I've always dealt with somebody like that in my life. I can't get away from it. It's just certain people that are always going to be attracted to me, and it's like, well, okay, you know, but I'm going to be there to, you know, fucking help them to be a good friend and shit, but it's like, dude, man, you got to realize, son, you can't keep doing this. Yeah. Like, you're going to lose out on friends. And that's exactly what happened to Kenny. That's why that nigga tried to come back. Like, oh, man, you know, man, well, fuck also, y'all, I'm going to do this myself. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I tried to talk to Kenny. I had a long conversation, like, you have to write jokes at home. And he's like, I just work it out on stage. I just write on stage. I'm like, what you're telling me is I'm lazy. You're saying, when you go, I just write on stage, you're saying I'm a lazy person. If you don't ever want to put pen to paper, like, what do you have to write jokes. You have to think about jokes, new material. You gotta wake up. If you're a rapper, you wake up, you're a rapper, you drink your coffee, you write some fucking raps.
A new inspiration.
You can't just go, oh, I rap on stage. No, you're a lazy person. You know what I mean? You don't want to put effort in, but then you want shit out of it. If you want to make money at comedy, you want to make money at raps, you got to fucking write comedy. You got to write raps.
Mm-hmm.
It's homework. Don't they always tell you, oh, here, read this book, write a paper, right? Homework is actually real. But people stop doing it when the teacher tells them.
Yeah.
No, you got to, they're telling you something about life, you know? You want to live as an artist, you want to live as a writer, you got to work.
You got to take some of that shit in. Mm-hmm.
We done? What's up?
Yeah, I'm not feeling well, so.
All right.
Hey, everybody's been a little sick this weekend.
Nah, it's a lot.
Oh, all the other stuff that's
Wayne's house, all the pet dander.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're allergic to cats and shit.
Yeah.